Chapter 3. By the time Stiles has set up perimeter defenses that he considers adequate and texted the relevant information to the others so they won't accidentally set them off when coming to the cabin, Ravender has woken from his nap and is clearly ready to climb the walls. Stiles gives him a stiff drink, which obviously has no effect on him, and is thinking about ways to distract him when Scott and the others get back. Ravender greets Ethan with relief, if no real affection. Scott had given him some painkillers when the ones from the hospital started to wear off, so he's fairly mellow. He takes Erica and Allison with him to tend to May. Her fever had gone up, even with the saline drip, and Stiles had started to worry about it enough that he filled a bathtub with snow and put her in it. That had brought it down, although Scott wrinkles his nose at the crude methods, delivers a thorough lecture on why Stiles shouldn't take network television as a how-to guide on medical care, and starts the antibiotics and the painkillers. Erica and Derek have to hold her down while he stitches up the wounds on her abdomen. Once she's resting comfortably, Ravender finally allows Scott to tend to his own wounds and give him some painkillers. "What about the venom?" Derek asks. Scott gives a helpless shrug. "Until we can identify the sort of creature, there isn't much that I can do about it. I'm hoping that she'll be able to fight it off on her own. If it was wolf-specific, it probably would have killed her by now." Derek gives a little nod. Stiles is about to say something about the possibilities when Lydia and the others show up. They stopped at a Burger King on their way into town and brought enough food for a dozen hungry werewolves. Ravender doesn't look thrilled with the food, but he's hungry, so he eats anyway. Ethan and Yasmin have no problems with it. "Okay," Stiles says, as they all sit around the cabin's living room with their dinner. "Let's get started. I presume we can all agree that this wasn't some random chance, that a monster happened upon you guys in the forest and tried to eat you for dinner. Someone was behind this."
"Yes," Ravender says with a nod, "and I believe I know who."
Yasmin and Ethan both look at him in surprise. So does Stiles, who then snorts and says, "Admittedly, that'll make my job easier. Lay it on me."
"A few months ago, we met a pack that consisted entirely of sorcerers who had been turned," Ravender says.
"Shit, them?" Ethan blurts out. "Oh, fuck." "This is a big deal?" Stiles says. Now that he's thinking about it, he's never met a werewolf who was also a sorcerer. Of course, it's not like he's met a lot of werewolves, but still, he's met several dozen by this point. Deaton had said everyone had the potential to learn sorcery, but he had never offered to teach it to any of the pack besides giving Allison a few rudimentary tricks.
"It's frowned upon," Ravender says, "primarily because it can create someone so powerful they would be nigh unstoppable. But the magic can also react unpredictably, especially during the full moon. Sometimes that makes spells more powerful. Other times, it makes spells blow up in one's face."
"Okay," Stiles says. "But this guy was doing it anyway."
Ravender nods. "How he himself procured the bite and became an alpha, I do not know. However, he had taken a number of sorcerers, mostly young men and women, some still children, and turned them against their will, using brute force and intimidation to keep them in line."
"Now, that was the shortest damn trial I've ever seen," Yasmin says dryly.
"Turning betas against their will isn't an automatic fail," Ethan says, "but it sure as hell hurts your chances."
"So Justin failed this guy," Stiles says, "and presumably killed him, right?"
Ravender nods and pinches the bridge of his nose. "It was particularly ugly. He tried to rally his betas to his defense. There was compulsory magic on them, as well as considerable psychological manipulation. Several of them were killed, many of them wounded, before we realized what was happening, at which point we basically had no choice but to endure whatever wounds they inflicted upon us while we concentrated our efforts on the Alpha himself. Once he was dead, they stopped fighting. Obviously, they were pretty upset, Yasmin continues. But, you know, we felt bad for them. They were all sorts of fucked up. So Justin kind of designated one of them as the stand-in alpha and said they had 6 months to get their shit together, like all the other probationary cases got, and that we'd come back and check on them. So they didn't have an actual alpha? Scott says, and Yasmin nods. You think they're coming after you now? Not they, Ravinder says. Some of the pack members were loyal to the Alpha. Those who were turned voluntarily, who were part of his effort to form a, shall we say, super pack. We thought we had killed them all, Ethan says. But I have a feeling that Rindy is about to tell us that we hadn't. Ravinder sighs. 2 days ago, just after finishing the last trial, Justin got a text from the stand-in Alpha, saying that one of the pack members had left and was planning to come after us.
What?
Ethan and Yasmin clamor.
Why didn't you tell us?
Ethan protests.
Why did he tell you and not the rest of us?
Yasmin adds. Justin didn't want the rest of you to worry unnecessarily. We decided to lay low for a few days and think about how to handle it. We have magical protections, of course, he adds to Stiles. But as you are aware, I'm sure, there's only so much help that can provide. They can shield a person from sorcery, but don't stop sorcery from affecting the world around you.
Or stop sorcery from summoning up a completely physical insect monster and setting it on you,
Stiles says.
Yeah, we had that problem with a lizard once,
Boyd says, and Danny shudders. Ravinder blinks at the two of them, and then says, forgive me, you have added to your pack, and I was too distracted to even notice.
Oh, yeah, Stiles says, I didn't think of introductions. That's Boyd and Danny over there, he says, and both of them say hello. And that's Mac. She's the newest. Only joined this past November.
Ravinder gives them his customary bow. Namaste. It is good to meet you. He turns back to Stiles. You've been gaining strength. That is good to see. We have heard the rumors about you, of course, but it's difficult to say how much is truth. He waves this aside. I digress. Yes, my assumption is that the sorcery conjured up the monster that attacked us.
Well, so far we've found you four, Stiles says, and that's not a bad start. If we're lucky, Justin and Aiden are similarly holed up somewhere. But then why can't I feel Justin?
Yasmin asks. I'm having the same problem, Ethan says, shifting uncomfortably. There's never been a time when I haven't known where my brother is. Even before we were wolves. It was just always something we could do.
Stiles chews on his lower lip.
You have a point, he admits. And I'll admit I don't have an easy answer. But why pick on those two specifically? Maybe he meant to capture all of us and simply wasn't able to, Ravinder offers. As I said, when May was wounded, I left the battle with her. By the time I got back, it was over.
Well, the first thing we need to do is figure out what the fuck it was, Erica says. Right?
Allison shakes her head. If it was a magical construct, it could have been anything. It's a creature purely out of this guy's imagination, which means he could have given it literally any features that he wanted to. It would have taken a lot of power to make something so big, yeah, but totally possible. And that explains why there was no entrance or exit path. It literally only existed for the moment of battle.
After which, our guy would have just loaded Justin and Aiden up into his car or dog sled or whatever and taken off with them,
Stiles says. He rubs both hands over his hair.
And none of us found any path out of there, which means he probably used magic to erase it. I keep saying he. Is it a he?
Yes, Ravinder says. Gabrielle.
Stiles sits up. You know his name? He asks. Well, shit, why didn't you start with that?
Ravender frowns. I fail to see what it gains us. I doubt he will come if we go into the forest and shout his name.
Oh my god, dude, do you know who you're talking to?
Stiles asks.
If I have his name, I can find him. Like I did you guys when you showed up in Beacon Hills, remember?
I suppose you did, Ravender muses. Admittedly, it never occurred to me to ask how you had done that.
I don't even remember anymore, Stiles says. The car rental information,
Stiles tells him.
Oh, that's right, Stiles says. I got the security footage of Derek's apartment parking lot, got the plate number off your car, got the credit card information from your car rental company, etc. Tell me this guy has a super unusual name.
I don't know the last name, Ravender says, but I will call the young woman who took over the pack and ask.
He picks up his cell phone and leafs through the address book for a few minutes. He exchanges some words with the person on the other end, then hangs up without giving them any detail.
Gabrielle Kahn.
For real? Stiles says, perking up. Aw, shit, this is gonna be awesome! Finally, I'm gonna have an excuse to shout, Kahn!
Ravender gives him a blank look. The others, however, are laughing. Stiles just grins and starts tapping at his phone.
21 people with the name Gabrielle Kahn in the United States. Sweet! Danny, Mac, you're up.
The two computer geeks exchange a look. I'll take financials, you take personals, Danny offers.
Deal,
Mac says, getting her laptop out. I'll check on May while they're doing that, Scott says, getting to his feet. Lydia and Allison start cleaning up the remains of dinner. Stiles sends Isaac and Boyd out to do a quick patrol of the woods to make sure that nobody is lurking. While the others are busy, Stiles pulls Erica aside.
Is there anything you want to tell me about things you may or may not have told your father?
He asks. Erica makes a pouting face.
Someone tattled on me.
Erica, Stiles says,
what the fuck were you thinking? You can't just go out of town and not tell your parents.
Actually, I'm 18, so yeah, I can, she says with a hair flip.
And you never told me I had to tell them. You just said, go home, talk to your parents, grab some stuff. That's what I did.
Stiles rubs a hand over his face.
Except now he's just going to be more pissed off every time you need to do pack stuff.
Hey, Erica says, I'm in this pack. This is my life now. My dad needs to get used to it.
Coddling won't help.
Neither will lying to him, Stiles points out. Erica makes a face at him.
You know, just because you're my alpha doesn't mean you can always tell me what to do. My family, my business.
I know, Stiles says, lifting his hands in surrender. But I don't like to see you unhappy. And I have this nagging feeling that if you don't clear up this stuff with your father, eventually you will be. Just think about it, okay?
Fine,
she says with an exaggerated sigh. And then she makes up for it with a kiss on the mouth. Stiles proceeds into the bedroom with Derek on his heels, where Scott is checking May's IV. Ravender is sitting on the edge of the bed next to her, smoothing down her hair. Stiles studies them both and thinks to himself, like a sister to you.
Sure.
He wonders who exactly Ravender thinks he's fooling, and more important, why he's trying to fool anyone.
How's she doing?
Temps come down about 2 degrees, so that's good, Scott replies. Mostly what she needs now is rest.
The others?
Stiles asks, since they're alone except for Ravender, who seems to be the default leader while Justin is gone. Derek sits down at his feet. Yaz is healing up nice. Ethan's still in pretty rough shape. I won't lie there. We've got to try to keep him sedentary as much as possible, which won't be easy while his twin is missing. He jerks his head towards Ravender and says,
Genius here has been walking around on a fractured pelvis, so he probably shouldn't be going much of anywhere either.
Ravender doesn't seem pleased at this assessment, but lets it slide. I don't understand what's interfering with the wolf healing. Styles chews on his lower lip, thinking about this. It's been bothering him as well. Wounds inflicted by another alpha are slower to heal, but whatever attacked them was no alpha. Magic can interfere with healing, he says, but I don't think that's what's going on here. Scott, you're giving May werewolf doses of those drugs, right? Scott nods. And I saw Ethan's chart in the hospital. It was requiring massive doses to keep him sedated. Once we took him off them, he came round right away. So they're still metabolizing things like normal wolves. That's what I thought, Styles says. Ravender, you want to be my guinea pig? Ravender looks at him blankly. I'm not sure what you mean. Styles reaches into his belt and produces a knife. Let's see whether your healing in general is impeded, or if wounds inflicted by this monster specifically are the problem. Ah, Ravender says. Very well. He holds out his hand. Arm, Styles says, taking him by the wrist. Hands are a bad place for wounds. He presses the blade of the knife against Ravender's forearm. Blood trickles down his wrist, but the cut closes mere moments later, just like it should. Okay, that's one mystery solved. Or, well, sort of solved. He frowns thoughtfully as Ravender wipes the blood off his arm. I guess it's possible that if this guy conjured up his dream monster, he could have included inflict permanent damage to werewolves as part of his specifications. Yikes, Scott says, and Derek chuffs in agreement. Or the wounds could be magical in nature somehow, Styles says, and rubs his hands over his face. Let's have a few words for how much I don't want to go up against a sorcerer again. Stone might have been one in a million, but even Jackson did his fair share of harm to us. Derek lets out a low whine and leans against Styles' knee, clearly not happy, remembering how close Styles had come to death during that misadventure. Styles rubs his ears absently, thinking this over. I cannot ask you to stay, Ravender agrees. Not given what we face. You have helped more than enough. Styles shakes his head. Yaz asked me to help her find Justin, he says. And that's what I'm going to do. This guy was prepared for you, not for me. There will be ways around him. Everybody has weaknesses. We just have to figure them out, that's all. How did you defeat Stone? It's Yasmin who asks, a timid voice from the doorway. Nobody really knows. Styles lets out a breath. All I did was reflect one of his spells back onto him. I had a massive advantage in that I had something that had once belonged to him. Something magically, spiritually, phenomenally powerful over him. I used it to channel the spell. That's all. It's not something I'll be able to duplicate here, even if I could still use magic. Which I can't. Mine's stripped.
Stripped?
Ravender asks, startled.
Why on earth?
For my own reasons, Styles says briskly, more because he doesn't want to waste time explaining it than because he doesn't want Ravender to know. Long story short, no magic. And if this guy is as powerful as you say, our best chance will be a sniper shot. It occurs to him, sudden and uncomfortable, that they only have Ravender's word about what this person has done. He's not willing to kill on the word of one man, even Ravender. They're going to have to do some independent research. Let's go see what the others have got. The patrol was uneventful. The kitchen is clean. Mac and Danny are conversing quietly as they work on their laptops. Nothing yet, they report. Styles pulls Allison aside and asks her to call her father and see if he's heard anything about these sorcerer werewolves. He emails Deaton, Gwen, and Rebecca, the witch he works with sometimes, to ask if they've heard anything. All of them keep their ear to the gossip train, and he wants confirmation of this. Derek approaches as he's tapping at his phone, having shifted back to his human form. You should get some sleep, he says. Danny and Mac will be at this for a while, and I know you didn't sleep at all last night.
Neither did you,
Stiles replies. I caught at least 4 hours in the car, Derek says, but I'll sleep too. Stiles sighs and rubs his hands over his face. Okay, he says. Danny, Mac, work as late as you can, but don't wake me unless you find something you think is time sensitive. Derek and I will take the last watch. The rest of you can divvy them up as you see fit. Danny and Mac are exempt since they'll be doing the computer work. Everyone agrees to this plan, and Stiles wanders into the second bedroom, which has two twin beds on the small side, obviously meant for children. If he and Derek take one, that'll leave the other for a few of the wolves. It's not much, but it's better than nothing. He surprises himself by curling up with Derek and falling asleep almost immediately. When he wakes, he's not sure why. He's still wearing his watch, so he checks the time. It's just past 3 a.m. He carefully untangles himself from Derek, who stirs but doesn't wake, and goes out into the main room. Wolves are clustered there, asleep in a pile. Allison and Lydia are on watch, sitting by the windows at the front. They give him a nod and a questioning glance when they see that he's awake. I'm okay, he says in a low voice, not wanting to wake the others. He's gotten some emails and reads them as he leans against the counter in the kitchen, eating leftover French fries. Both Rebecca and Deaton had heard rumors of both the pack of sorcerers and their destruction. Deaton confirms that a sorcerer with enough juice could conjure a monster of this caliber. He also sends the recipe for a remedy that he thinks might help cure the venom. Hey, Stiles says, sitting down next to Allison. Have we got these things in the emergency kit? He asks, showing her the list. She skims it quickly. Most of it, yeah. I can't vouch for the quantities, but... She gets up from her seat and starts rummaging through her things. After Mikhail's herbal remedy had helped the burns he had sustained during the conclave so efficiently, he had taken to looking into that sort of treatment for injuries. He and Allison had put together a sort of emergency kit to bring with them, since hospitals were often a bad idea. Thanks, he says, and starts measuring things into a cup he finds in the kitchen. Heard from your dad? Yeah, Allison says. And he had heard about it. In fact, it was kind of a big deal. This past summer, there had been some hunters sent to handle it, but Justin and the pack got there first. What was left of the pack went underground, and the hunters looked for them, but couldn't find them. Which makes sense. I mean, they're sorcerers. I'm sure they can hide if they want to. Okay, Stiles lets out a breath. So we've got some independent confirmation now. We just need to find this asshole. I think Danny and Mac made some progress, Allison says. But we can't just storm the castle. This guy is a powerful sorcerer. After you went to bed, I talked to Ravender about it. He gave me the contact information for Clara, the stand-in alpha of the sorcerer's pack. We've been texting about what kind of magic this guy does. She says he's heavily reliant on symbols and frameworks to do anything powerful, which means if we can get him out of his lair, we'll have a big advantage over him. He can't just fling magic around on the fly, the way Stone and even Jackson could. Stiles nods. Okay, good. He knows from his own reading that every sorcerer is different, that the way someone does magic is dependent on how they learned to do it in the first place. Magic is so much about belief that it's quite easy for a sorcerer to use physical objects or verbal spells as a crutch, even when another sorcerer would find them unnecessary. He grinds up some herbs and adds them to the mixture. He squints at the last line. Are you hair from a virgin? Seriously? Purity, Allison says with a shrug. A lot of spells designed to negate venom use virginal stuff. Just be glad that it's not asking for, well, fluids. I've seen ones that do. Stiles gags, then looks over at the pile of wolves, speculatively. Think we can get a hair off Isaac without waking him up? Seriously? She asks, an amused smile quirking at the corner of her lips. Well, I don't want to embarrass him. And plucking hairs off him while he's sleeping is your solution? Allison shakes her head at him and walks over to the pile of wolves. She puts a hand on Isaac's paw and gives it a gentle shake. His eyes open a moment later, and he blinks at her sleepily. Need a hair of yours for a potion we're making to help May, she says, and he yawns prodigiously and then closes his eyes. Allison returns a moment later with several strands of hair in her hand. Now, was that so hard? Styles makes a face at her, and she giggles. Someday that kid is gonna get laid, and then what are we gonna do? He asks. Throw him a party, she says, putting the hair in the glass. There's a little puff of smoke, and the liquid changes from a muddy brown to a crystal clear. Nice, she says. You know, when Deaton said this was an herbal remedy, I think he was misusing some terminology, Styles says, and shrugs. He sees Allison yawn. How much longer is your shift? She checks her watch. 12 minutes. Then Boyd and Erica take over. Okay. He bumps shoulders with her. I'll give this to May and then go back to bed. See if I can fall back to sleep. Okay. Allison waves as he heads into the master bedroom. All of the Alpha Pack members that have gathered there are asleep. Yasmin is still in her human form, since her arm is splinted, and she's laid down next to May. Ravender and Ethan are in wolf form, sprawled across the end of the bed. Styles checks the email from Deaton another time to make sure that this potion is for drinking, not any other sort of application, and then reaches out to May. Her eyes flutter open as he touches her cheek, but they're glassy, unfocused. Here, drink this, Styles says gently, tilting her head back and pressing the cup up to her mouth. She drinks without questioning. When the glass is empty, her eyes close again. Styles licks out the residue curiously. It tastes overly sweet and a little sticky, nothing like the herbs it came from. Then he startles, guiltily, and glances around to make sure nobody saw, before hastily leaving the room and crawling back into bed with Derek. He doubts he'll fall asleep, but he doesn't want Derek to notice his absence and get restless, as he's wont to do. Everything is still quiet at 5 a.m. when Erica comes and wakes him. Derek is easily roused out of bed. Styles checks all his traps and surveillance and finds nothing out of the ordinary. He waits until 6 before he starts making breakfast. Lydia, who knows him so well, brought groceries as well as the fast food for dinner. The smell of sausage and pancakes gets everyone else in his pack up. Leaving Boyd to tend to the food, he goes to check on the alphas, with Scott behind him. He's already given Scott a quick rundown of the herbal remedy Deaton had him administer. She looks a lot better, Scott says. He keeps his voice low to avoid waking the others, but Ethan stirs anyway, then wakes with a jolt. Where's Aiden? He demands, still half conscious, and that wakes the others. It takes a few minutes to get him calmed down and everyone sorted out. Oh, May groans, trying to sit up, one hand pressed to her abdomen. Easy, easy, Scott says, putting one hand on her shoulder and pushing her back into the bed. Don't try to move too much. What? May frowns at him in confusion. Then Ravender is grasping her other hand, and she blinks over at him. What happened? It will take some time to explain, Ravender says, his eyes bright with unshed tears. What is important is that you are well now. Be easy. May sinks back into the pillows, allowing Scott to push up her shirt and examine the wounds. The red inflammation has gone down a great deal. Your temperature's normal, Scott says. I think we'll want to leave you on the antibiotics a couple more days, just to be on the safe side. But you should be okay. May's gaze darts to Ravender, and he nods at her. So she turns to Scott and says, Thank you. Her voice is raspy. I'm a little thirsty. I'll get you something, Yasmin says. Styles follows her, since it's obvious that his presence isn't needed, and May's reunion with the pack, such as it is likely to be emotional. She goes into the kitchen and starts filling a glass with water. Her hands are trembling a little, so Stiles asks her if she's all right. She turns and presses her face into his shoulder. "Thank you," she says fiercely. "Thank you." He gives her a hug, letting her rest against him for a minute. "Hey, me pack is Supak," he says. She swallows hard and pulls away. "I heard what Ravender said to you last night," she says. "You should go. You've done enough. I don't want your pack in danger." Stiles hesitates. The urge to cut and run is tempting, but he knows that it would only be asking for trouble. "Yaz, this is about more than you and Justin now. This guy can't just do whatever he wants, and right now would be a bad time for the Alpha Pack to run into trouble, given the way Justin's been changing things around. We're trying to change the world here, make it a safer place for everybody, and I'm willing to risk my life for that. Besides, Justin is my friend, so we're in this together." Yasmin takes a deep breath, nods, and gets in control of herself. "Okay, yes. I'm going to go talk to Danny and Mac. You go see May and the others." "Okay." Yasmin turns and heads back into the bedroom. Stiles plops down on the sofa in the living room, where Danny and Mac are both typing away. "Okay, guys, hit me." "We're good," Danny says. He looks a little tired, but not too bad. "Took a little work to weed him out from the others, but Allison was chatting with that Clara woman, and we found out where the pack had been living prior to everything else. You actually don't give a shit about my methods, do you?"
"If you say you've got the right guy, I trust you," Stiles says. "Although I'm quite interested in learning your methods. Maybe some other time. I want to get going while there's plenty of daylight. Sorcerers tend to be nocturnal."
Danny slaps the laptop shut. "Motel 6, in the Dales."
"What the hell is the Dales?"
Stiles asks.
"It's a city. Well, a town," Mac says. "About 20 miles east of Hood River."
"What a weird name for a town," Stiles says. "You're one to talk about weird names," Danny says with a snort of laughter. Stiles has to admit that he has a point. Anyway, from the credit card charge, he either paid for multiple rooms or a long-ass stay. It's just over $1,500. Looking at their website, that motel runs about $65 a night. So either it's one room for about 3 weeks or 5 rooms for 4 nights, or somewhere in that neighborhood.
"So Justin and Aiden might be there too," Stiles says, getting excited.
"Okay, let's load everyone up. How far away are we from the Dales?"
"Including the time it will take us to get out of the middle of nowhere and onto an actual road, I'd say about 45 minutes to an hour,"
Max says.
"Awesome," Stiles says. "Okay, folks, it's gathering time," he calls out, and the others head into the living room.
After a moment, the alphas emerge from the bedroom. Ravender is carrying May, and Stiles shoos the others off the sofa so they can lie down.
"So, our friend is holed up in a motel, and it is our hope that he's got Justin and Aiden there with him," Stiles explains. "We are going to go open a can of Stalinsky-flavored whoop-ass on him."
"We need to get him out of his room and therefore in a vulnerable position," Allison says.
"Yeah, but I don't want to snipe him," Stiles says. "If Justin and Aiden aren't there, we may have to try to get information out of him."
Not that he knows how he'll do that. Torture isn't exactly in his playbook, and he's guessing this guy won't accept any bargains he offers. But he'll cross that bridge when he comes to it.
"Mountain Ash?" Lydia suggests.
Stiles gives a nod.
"The real advantage here is that he doesn't know about us. The Alpha Pack he might be expecting, but he has no idea we're here. Allison, you and I are taking point on this. He'd smell any of the wolves. Sorry, guys," he adds as the rest of the pack bristles. "You can cover us from a distance. Allison,
Got your taser? I thought you'd never ask, she says.
A taser won't keep him down for long, Ethan says, frowning. Styles lets out a breath.
There is a very specific frequency of electricity that, for some reason, wreaks havoc on a werewolf's central nervous system. It's something that I learned at the Conclave. No, it won't keep him down for long, but 10 seconds will be enough to get him in a mountain ash circle. And that's good enough for me. Then we can ascertain if Justin and Danny are at the hotel, and move from there. Did you guys get his car information? He adds to Danny and Mac. Mac nods. Yeah, it's a rental. Silver CRV. Good. That's where we'll wait for him. My guess is that when the hotel is evacuated, he's going to want to beat feet.
And why is the hotel going to be evacuated?
Derek asks, quirking an eyebrow at Styles. Because we're going to pull the fire alarm. Duh, Styles says.
That doesn't guarantee he'll come out.
Derek is quiet for a moment.
We should smoke him out.
Are you okay with that? Styles asks, giving him a close look.
I'll manage.
Scott clears his throat. Styles, your dad will freak if you set fire to a motel. I mean, for real, he will pitch a fit.
Let us handle that, then. Ethan says, we can do that.
Styles considers, then nods. Okay, Ravender, I think you should stay here with May. He thinks that Ethan and Yasmin should stay up behind, too, because of their injuries, but he knows he won't be able to convince them, not while their lupas are missing. He wouldn't be convinced either, and he has no authority over them, so it's better to simply include them in the plans. We'll leave the arson up to Ethan and Yasmin. Allison and I are on point, but Derek, Isaac, Erica, I want you close. The smoke should help cover up your scent. The rest of you guys are going to ring the hotel in case he tries to slip past us. But don't try to stop him. This guy is dangerous. Just trail him and the rest of us will catch up. Any questions?
Nobody has any.
Then let's get this party started.